Hello, I'm Father Ray Petrucci. Welcome to Thoughts for the Week. We have a fascinating program today, a wonderful guest. We're going to get to the show in just a moment. First, my first duty is to turn to you, our listeners, and to ask you to consider something, and that is to contact us. We love to reach out to you over the airwaves, but we love to hear from you. Now, obviously, you can't call us while we're on our show or use other methods while we're actually broadcasting, but you certainly can contact us, and I'm going to give you two ways. First is mail, simply putting a stamp on an envelope and sending us your comments. Here's our address, Thoughts for the Week, Post Office Box 7466. That's Post Office Box 7466, Greenwich, Connecticut. The zip code in Greenwich, 06836. Again, 06836. And if you're on the computer and you prefer to email us, that could be done. Simply send it to this email address, clemens10@aol.com. Let me spell Clemens for you. C-L-E-M-O-N-S, the number 10, at AOL.com. While you're on the computer, I'd like to encourage you to go to our internet magazine, Spirituality for Today. You could find that at spirituality.org. That's spirituality.org. My co-host, Dorothy Rare, could not be with us today, but I'm delighted to be able to welcome our guest today, a deacon of the Archdiocese of Hartford, Deacon Thomas Cabine. Deacon Cabine, welcome.
Thank you so much for your invitation, Father.
We're delighted to have you here. You know, people who listen to this program hear the priest all the time, but they don't get to hear a deacon that often. And what I'd like to do is to sort of turn to you. Now, I know you have a fascinating background of how you came to the church, perhaps in a little brief way. Just let us know how you got to, let's say, the point of desiring to pursue the diaconate.
Well, once I became, was received into the Catholic Church, which was in 2006, I was interested always, as you know from the previous shows that we've done, I have been in ministry for most of my life, so it was not anything that worried me or I was very willing to do it. I wasn't certain if it was God's will that I do this. I was already in my 50s, so I decided that I would apply for the diaconate, and if I was accepted, I would take that as God's will, that that might be a vocation for me. And so I was accepted into the aspirancy year, the first year that we have of our path to the diaconate, and after that year was up, I was accepted into the regular formation program, which is just a college-level program, mm-hmm. And 4 years later, I was ordained as a deacon. So that's really kind of the path that I had toward the diaconate. The opportunity that you have as a deacon is to, again, as we've discussed before, you have one foot in the church, as it were, and one foot in the world. Mm-hmm. That is that most of us, including me, were working in a secular occupation, and we interacted with people. I interacted with vendors and clients and fellow workers at the company that I worked for. And you also interact with bishops and priests and other deacons and parishioners in the church. So you can bring what you have from working in the world, secular knowledge, to bear on things that have to do with the many aspects of the church that are secular in nature, managing a parish, financial accountability, other issues like that, even something as simple as how do you build something, or things like that you can bring from the secular environment into the church environment. And on the other hand, information can go the other way. That is, we can bring spirituality to our workplace. So unlike a priest who is less likely often to deal with a lot of people that are not involved with the church in some way. Deacons have both the church environment and the work environment in which we can interact and bring to bear what we know.
This brings up the area of evangelization, and you're referring to that somewhat. How would you, how would you as a deacon kind of approach your workplace with, in your mind, that idea of, I can truly evangelize, spread the gospel, spread the faith in the functioning in my work? How do you do that? How do you?
Well, I am a Christian, and being a Christian is part of who I am. It's part of my personality. When you work with people, whatever the situation, if you work with them closely enough to get to know them as people, you need to find out things about them. How many children do you have? Are you married? What are your hobbies? Do you play golf? All these different things we find out about one another as we talk to them. Mm-hmm. It usually doesn't take long, because I like to do this, mm-hmm. to let people know who I am. And that includes letting them know that I'm a Christian, and that I'm a Catholic, and that I'm a deacon. So most of my clients, most of my vendors, just about all of my workmates know that about me. And because of that, I have opportunities to share the faith with them. I happen to really like to do this. I like to engage people at that mm-hmm. level, because I found in my own life that there were so many questions that were answered by the faith that other people might have those same questions, and they might be interested in knowing what the answers are that the church has given. But I want to emphasize that this is certainly not something that is tied closely to the diaconate. Anyone can do this. In fact, we're all called to evangelize others. It doesn't have to be by making speeches or giving homilies or anything else. It can be as much by the way we act, things that we do, how we help others in need. That often is a much more eloquent testimony than things that we say. But spreading the faith is so important to people, because the faith truly has something that they need. They need to know that it is available. That, and I guess maybe from that I could go to this, well, we could discuss a little bit more about what our goals in life mm-hmm. ought to be mm-hmm. as Christians. Mm-hmm. Shall we pursue that a little ways?
By all means. Because I think that, especially when you enter the ministry in any way, I mean, you think long and hard about it. You think about what it means to you. And that does create a sense of saying, well, Lord, I want to serve you. And that, I think, does create a sense of wanting to do a goal setting.
Right. And if you talk to many people, they are looking for a way to give meaning to the world. They're looking for a way to leave something behind that really matters. And it's increasingly difficult sometimes for people to do that. Many times they're satisfied with, quote-unquote, 15 minutes of fame. This is all that they may get in their life, some small thing. And I don't know, perhaps that's what drives so many people to post pictures and discussions of what they're doing on the internet, on Facebook mm-hmm. or other social media. One of the things that really drew me to the Catholic faith is this very, very real expectation that a person can become a saint. I don't mean to be glib or trite in this, but this ought to be the goal of every Christian, not just the diaconate. The diaconate is, in a way, it gives you a feeling. I'm sure a lot of people think, oh, well, he's a deacon or a priest, so he must be much more righteous or good or whatever than I am. No, these are jobs that we do. Christ has organized his church in a certain way that we need people to provide services, to protect the faith, to spread it. But the real meaning behind the faith is for everyone. And that is that, I mean, it sounds crazy that everyone ought to be a saint, but the famous French novelist Léon Blois said, there's only, and I think I have a quote here someplace, there's only one sadness, he says, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint, because we were meant to be saints. This is what we were made for.
Yeah, people have no trouble with the idea of they want to get to heaven. Then it's like, well, when you get to heaven, guess what? You're a saint.
Right, yeah. Right. Now, in my own path, in my own walk, I'll tell you a little story about something that was really a great turning point for me. I was reading in this second century document, which was called The Shepherd of Hermas.
Mm.
And The Shepherd was a very, very popular bit of writing that was widely read in the second and third centuries. In fact, in the oldest extant Bible that we have, the manuscript Sinaiticus, it is actually included in the Bible as part of the sacred texts, because that Bible was put together. It was written before the canon was actually finally determined. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, in this writing, The Shepherd of Hermas, he is talking to an angel, and the angel gives him these wonderful mandates. And he says, wow, these are great. You know, it'd be great if everybody could live this way, you know, but it's just too hard. It's too hard for us to do these things. And the angel is angry with him, and he says, listen, I'm paraphrasing greatly here, but
no, of course.
He says, you were made to keep these commandments. And in fact, you will find that the only thing that makes them difficult is that you say to yourself, these are too difficult. If you said to yourself, these are not too difficult, you would find that they were quite easy. And in fact, you would find that your life is sweeter than you can imagine if you would keep these commandments. Well, when I read that, I said, man, this is a whole different view. My view of Christianity, my view of Jesus' work in the past, had been that he was just going to cover all of our sins by forgiving them, not that there was a real possibility of ridding myself completely of sin in this life. And that is what is held out by the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
the hope of being able to truly become a saint. So I recommend heartily that every Christian set that as their goal, to become a saint in this life.
I have to tell you a little story, too. This is my time, many years I spent as a hospital chaplain, and I remember going into a patient's room one afternoon, and he was getting ready to go home, or he was going to go home the next day, and his family was with him, and there were some of his grandchildren there. One was graduating from high school, heading off to college, and I asked him, oh, great, well, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? And he told me some things he wanted to study and hope to pursue. And there was his sister was maybe fourth, fifth grade, and I asked her, well, I know you're awfully young, but you figure out what you want to be? And she looked up at me and said, I want to be a saint.
I said, good for her.
What a great answer. What a great answer.
You need to find that girl find out if she became a saint.
But a few years down the road now, but God bless her. So, this is so true. Now, you when you were working, I know you're retired at this time, but when you spent your time in the workplace, you made sure everybody knew who you were and that you were a deacon. Did that make it easier for them to approach you to talk about religion?
I think so. Mm. I think it does. It means that you will be held probably to a higher standard. If you're going to be a saint anyway, you may as well go ahead and live the life, right?
So
I have been blessed in being able to help probably 35 or 40 people to come to the Catholic Church since I became a Catholic.
Mm.
I open the door for those discussions, and I like the hard questions, because the Church has good answers to the hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I sense, especially now in the life that I've lived, our country is more politically divided than I can ever remember in my lifetime. And people are struggling with the hard questions. What should I do with my life? Where is the meaning for life? What are we threatened by? Imminent destruction? Will Do we need to change everything about our lives in order to survive? These are questions that people have. They want to know about it. Relationships in my lifetime between the sexes have changed tremendously. How we relate one another to one another have changed. So I find it satisfying to provide an arrangement or a situation in which people could raise those questions, even though sometimes it comes up as a challenge to me. And sometimes there's ridicule involved a little bit, but I've got something that they need. They may not even know that they need it, but I do have something they need. And I think being a deacon has made it easier for me to at least bring it up and say, here's what we've got.
Yeah, often I'm reminded of that old phrase, is that so many people you run into, you know, have lost their faith. And they hate you for having it. And sometimes the approach may be more confrontational, but it may open the door to something you may want to be able to bring them.
Sometimes people who are the most controversial or the most unaccepting are really struggling with their own problems, their own faith. And that doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. I'm comfortable with my faith. I know what I believe. I have come to it by prayer and reasoning and all these things. And so I feel comfortable with what I believe, and I'm not afraid to share it.
Maybe you've partially answered my next question, and that is in the area of self-understanding. Now, you have spent your life really, I could see that you've investigated and concerned these questions of who we are as human beings and what we were meant to be and go in our relationship with this mysterious and wonderful God who reveals so much love to us. If a person was to, and then maybe it flows back to evangelization, if a person was to understand their role as, well, priest, deacon, religious, or Christian out there, the importance of self-understanding, not only of maybe faith, but also of one's, who one is, you know, the positive and negative.
Absolutely. I see where you're going with this, and I can agree with you. We, according to the church's teaching, we are very, very special creatures because we have a spirit soul, and we have the capability to understand abstractions. We have the capability to understand not only that a thing is a particular shape, but we can grasp the what it is that makes all trees, that they all have in common, the tree-ness of a tree, the humanness of a human. We can understand these things. Now, prior to my becoming a Catholic, I had virtually no interest in philosophy. I thought that philosophy was just basically a bunch of people's opinions about things and that there was no real value in it at all. Once I became a Catholic, I could see that there was really something to it, especially reading Thomas Aquinas. Goodness, you know. And I found out that there are really, really, I'm going back to self-understanding. Mm-hmm. I begin to understand more about who I am and what my potential is. And I think that a big problem that many, many people have is that they set their sights too low. Again, I said we've talked about being a saint, but many people are satisfied to live their life with a reasonable amount of health, to make a reasonable amount of money, not to screw up too bad in their lives, but to live their lives without really reaching out to what our potential is as creatures of God. God is calling us to something so much higher than that. And he has set this example for us in himself and in the Virgin Mother for us to reach out and be much more than what we might tend to set for our own goals in life, including living forever.
Yeah, well, I know. There you are. But I think when you mentioned Mary, the reverence that the faith gives to Mary is something that's not in other Christian faiths for the most part. But I see the centering in her as here's a human being who lived the whole human experience. And her son, I mean, wow, you just turn and look to her for that image of self-understanding, but also being caught up in the mystery. And if she saw her son have to endure so much in his work, his ministry, and to have seen, watched her lose so much, I'm just wondering how has the Blessed Mother, let's say, helped you?
Well, it was a long path, to be honest with you, for me to really grasp the greatness of the mm-hmm. Blessed Mother, because I was raised in a tradition that totally rejected the Catholic teachings right. of Mary. But understanding them, coming to grips with how Christ came into the world, how God chose to live among us, the meaning of the incarnation, and her role in the incarnation, helped me with that same question that you had of self-understanding. It tells me more about who I am and what kind of potential I have, information that I would never have had before. So the Catholic Church completely opened up my understanding of men and women, what we are, how God has seen fit to display his own personality within the sexes and within humanity. That this is all tied up in the incarnation. And the Church's teachings on the incarnation are so vast and so wonderful, including Mary's role in that incarnation.
Poor Joseph doesn't get a lot of, except he has an awful lot of churches and things named after him. But, I think of the idea also of, and may go back to the very beginning of God as creator, the sense of cooperation, the free will of Mary, free will of Joseph, encountering this saying that that you are cooperating in this incarnation event. And raising and providing safeguard for this holy family. Is it, again, that self-understanding of who we are as creatures of God, who we are as sons and daughters of God? How does that change anyone's outlook versus a person who doesn't have that understanding?
Right. So you're going to set your goals lower. You're going to see yourself as having these limitations. And if you see yourself as a potential saint, if you see that God has chosen to give you, to share with you his divine nature within the Blessed Eucharist mm-hmm. and in your spirit soul, giving you the Holy Spirit in confirmation, if he is going to share himself with you, what can you become? You can become something much greater than anything that you anticipated to become if you don't have that perspective.
That is something I've tried to, not only to yourself, but also tried to preach in that sense of what you can be with God versus what you can be just not trying to go according to your own devices.
And if you think of yourself as being just, again, to use a famous expression, a trousered ape, if we think of ourselves as basically just the same as an ape, except a little bit more capable of thinking, rather than a potential co-heir with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. If you think of yourself in that, with that potential, it changes all of your goals of life. It changes mm-hmm. the way you look at the world. Everything looks different. Mm-hmm. It is a new world, mm-hmm. a new creation.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think that it may have, and I guess we're talking about how our own individual spiritual growth, where that can come from. I'm wondering, do you have any particular people that, or writers, or saints, or let's say, or methods of either meditation or retreats that you turn to for your own spiritual development?
Oh my goodness! Well,
I think open up again.
The writings of all the saints, any of the saints. I mean, no matter what your interest is, and no matter what your problem is, the writings of the saints address it in some way. I found several of the writings of the saints. Saint Teresa of Avila is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. I love her writings. Thérèse of Lisieux is also wonderful. All of these writers, St. John of the Cross, they have these writings that address issues that maybe you thought about them fleetingly in passing, and they have thought about them at great length, and the things they have to say about them, Augustine, Aquinas, I didn't even think of half the categories that he not only thought about, but thought through thoroughly. Mm. And so reading the writings of the saints has been a wonderful thing. Something else I would recommend to any Christian. Now, as a deacon, I took a vow to say the morning and evening prayer every day. There is a liturgy of the hours that is part of the Catholic faith. And the Liturgy of the Hours includes an office of readings, and those readings are from the saints, and they're wonderful, wonderful readings.
Mm.
I would recommend to any serious Catholic that they make part of their daily routine reading or praying the daily office. I think if there is one thing that I did that has contributed to my spiritual growth more than anything else, it's reading the daily office. And I did that from the time I became a Catholic, not from the time I became a deacon.
Mm.
I read the daily office from about 2 months after I became a Catholic.
You know, it's fascinating how you're connected with human beings who have truly understood themselves as sons and daughters of God. I think the imitation of Christ has had many areas.
Thomas A. Kempis.
Kempis and. I know he's one of those.
Yes, his work was very good. I loved his work as well.
Yeah. So there's a lot to be there, and I hope our listeners really get the point of what Deacon Cabin is trying to bring to us today in this program. Before we totally run out of time, I do have to ask those who may be interested in learning more about the diaconate, where do they go?
The USCCB website has a great article or section on the diaconate in general, and any local diocese will have a web page dedicated to the diaconate that will tell all the specifics for how you can enroll, where you can find out about it, and other resources.
Yeah, you could Google diaconate, but I think it may be a lot wiser to go to your own archdiocese or diocese and learn more about it from there. Deacon Cabin, I thank you very, very much for being our guest
today.
Thank
you for inviting me.
Wonderful. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. Please join us again next week. God bless you all this week.